Jeremiah chapter 8. The message today is the balm and physician of Gilead. I want to read several passages in the New Testament, but this is the one that brought these thoughts to mind. Jeremiah chapter 8, verse 22. Jeremiah 8:22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? Why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? Evidently, Gilead was a place where they had balm, medicine, and where they had physicians. And so this is what God is asking. You are sick, you are distressed, you are suffering. And he says, is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? The answer should be yes. And he asks, why then is not the health of the daughter of my people recovered? So now let's turn to Matthew 4. Verse 23, and Jesus went about in all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of disease and all manner of sickness among the people. And the report of him went forth into all Syria, and they brought unto him all that were sick, holding with different diseases and torments, possessed with demons and epileptic and palsy, and he healed them. Now chapter 8. Verse 14. And when Jesus was come into Peter's house, he saw his wife's mother lying sick of a fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. And when even was come, they brought unto him many possessed with demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word, and healed all that were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken through Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our diseases. Now, in Luke chapter 4, verse 42, and all bear him witness and wondered at the words of grace which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, doubtless you will say unto me this parable, physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done at Capernaum, do also here in thine own country. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is acceptable in his own country. Now, let's turn to Mark 2. God willing, these shall be put together in the course of the message. Mark chapter 2. Verse 3. And they come bringing unto him a man sick of the palsy, born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the crowd, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had woken it up, they let down the bed whereon the sick of the palsy lay. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins are forgiven. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there, and reasoning in their hearts, Why doth this man thus speak? He blasphemeth. Who can forgive sins but one, even God? And straightway, Jesus, perceiving in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, saith unto them, Why reason ye these things in your hearts? Which is easier, to say to the sick of the palsy, Thy sins are forgiven, or to say, Arise, and take up thy bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins, he says to the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thy house. And he arose, and straightway took up the bed, and went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, We never saw it on this fashion. And now, in chapter 6, verse 2, And when the Sabbath was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many, hearing him, were astonished, saying, Whence hath this man these things? And what is the wisdom that is given unto this man? And what mean such mighty works wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended in him. And Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands upon a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled because of their unbelief. Let us speak to God again in prayer. Our Father, we thank you for all things we tell you. You tell us about your Son. Our Father, if all was told, the world itself could not contain the books. But you told us enough, our Father, to know that he is a special individual, that there is no one like him, and he is the one, our God, that you sent from heaven that is essential for the salvation and for the wellness of men. And so, our God, we pray that you shall show us from these passages and others that we desire to consider some of the things about this one who was misunderstood, who was rejected, who indeed was a prophet, but in his own country. And he himself said, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country, among his kin, among those that belong to him. So teach us about your Son. This morning we pray. We thank you for the blessings that are ours, what physical strength we have. Continue to be with us. Our God, we cannot help again but think of the destitution, the devastation in Mississippi and Louisiana. Our God, in mercy, look upon those who have suffered such a stroke. We pray that you will help them to understand and help us to understand as well. But bless us this morning, we pray, We confess our sins, be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and glorify the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. It was not necessary for the Lord Jesus ever to send anyone who came to him who was sick, who was afflicted, to anybody else. He healed everyone who came to him with a word, with a touch, with instruction. But this one who could have done it all himself said this, "They that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick." That's a remarkable thing. Why would Jesus, who without a physician healed them all, say, "They that are whole, that are well, have no need of a physician, but they that are sick"? The Lord Jesus said this, "If you are sick, you need a physician." Now, when the Savior was on earth, it was unnecessary for any of them to go to physicians, because there was one physician who was competent to heal them all. Today we have specialists. And if you go to one, he might look at you and say, "I'm not competent to deal with this disease. Go to this physician." But somewhere among the children of men, with their education, with their learning, they are able to heal all the physical sicknesses of men that are susceptible to medicines and to the understanding that God has given them. Some are beyond them. They look and they say, "I cannot diagnose this disease. I'm not able to give you any medicine that will heal you." But the thing that is told us about the Lord Jesus is that there was no disease, there was no sick person ever brought to him that he could not personally and immediately heal, and that is what he did. That's why God tells us they brought to him the ones that were sick, that had fevers, that were afflicted, that were lame, that were blind, that were deaf, that were dumb. It made no difference what the sickness was. When they brought the sickness to Jesus, the Lord Jesus, with a word, with a touch, with an instruction, healed them all. Therefore, if Job and his friends had looked at the Lord Jesus, these words would never be uttered. Job heard all the instructions that they gave him to heal his condition, and this is what he said concerning them. He said, "You are physicians without value." And so let's remember that in this world there are physicians that are incompetent, that are charlatans, and it is a disgrace that they have been given a certificate that they are allowed to practice upon the sick bodies of men that they are. But some soon find out, and this is what is of interest. A loved one of mine recently has been to a physician, but before we went to this physician, we went to another because we wanted to get a physician that had a reputation. And we tried to see him, but he was so busy, we were not able to get in with the appointment that was given us. But what we did was this. We went to visit three others that had him as an attending physician, and when we looked at one whose arm was treated by him, this one said, "Well, he was supposed to treat my arm, but he was so busy, he didn't have time." and another one showed us a finger that he had treated, and it was frightening to look at. And so when we saw these patients that this physician had worked on, we said, he is not the physician for us. But we went to another, and the physician was competent. He was one that was trustworthy, and is not my wife walking around now on her own? And so that is the testimony. But what is so sad is this. I did not read you about this woman who had an inward physical condition, a hemorrhage within, and it said that she had spent all her living on many physicians, but grew not better, but worse. Now that's the sad thing. When suffering individuals, people that we know, go to one physician and another physician and another physician, and they do not grow better, but they grow worse. But what happens is this, whether they heal you or not, they say, the fee is this much money. It happened to me once. I remember years ago, I had something troubling me about my eye, and I went to this ophthalmologist, and he looked at me and gave me all the tests, and this is what he said. He said, well, he said, these things either get better or they get worse. $50. And so that was the advice this physician gave me. He did nothing for me. And so what happens is this. As we go through life, there are some that we go to seeking physical relief, and they're not able to give it. If they would only tell us, I am not competent to give you any help. The Orientals had this rule years ago, that if a physician said, I can heal you, if he did not heal you, then it cost him his life. And so finally, a physician could say, the fee to heal you is so enormous that they knew that this poor person could never gather that much money, because he knew that he was not able to heal, but he would not tell them he could not heal them. He would say, for instance, I will heal you for $1,000,000. And here is a poor coolie that was making a penny a day. And therefore, he was safe. But what happened was this, concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and I've looked at every miracle recorded in the Bible that Jesus healed. And if I ask you, how many miracles are recorded, distinct miracles that Jesus performed, that he healed? I found no less than 35, and there is the greatest variety. But when I mention 35, these are specific diseases and illnesses that were named. It says at times when the sun went down, it was after sunset, the Sabbath was passed, and therefore they could come. It said they brought all that were sick unto him. And it says, he healed them all. And so our Savior did not heal 35, but he healed thousands. Whenever they brought anyone to him that was sick, he healed them all. Now, I'm glad that our Savior had thrown in his faith what we have thrown in ours today. When he would go to one place and heal, he would come to another, and there would be no healing. And when that happened, they would point a finger at him and say, physician, heal thyself. Do you remember when our Savior was crucified? They said, he saves others, himself he cannot save. And so what happened was this. The one to whom he gave a demonstration of his power, this was their testimony. He hath done all things well. He makes the dumb to speak. He makes the deaf to hear. These were the ones that personally were blessed and treated by the Lord Jesus. But at times, there were others that were sick, and the Lord Jesus would pass them by. And because of that, there was a question concerning our Savior. This man, why? Let him heal himself. He's supposed to be a physician. And it's like this. Suppose you went to a physician with an illness to be treated, and you found out that that physician had the same illness that you have, and he couldn't heal himself. What confidence did you have in him? You could say to him, physician, heal yourself. I'm going to somebody else that is able to heal this disease. But in the case of the Lord Jesus, it was not so. It was not that he was not able, but he had his own reasons, and he does not always tell us his reasons. I'm thinking of this. I'm thinking of dear ones who deserve to be healed, who, in our hearts, we ask the question, why do they have to go through life suffering? Why is it that they desire death rather than life because of the afflictions that they have to bear going through life? And my answer is this, I do not know. And the answer of the Lord Jesus is this, I know, but I have not chosen to tell you why this is so. I found this. I found at times when his disciples would look at a man that was sick and would give their reason why he was sick. The Lord Jesus would listen to what they said, and he would answer yes or no. Like this. There was a man born blind, and his disciples looked at him and asked, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Notice, they have the answer why he was born blind. Either his parents did something wrong, or he did something that was wrong. And the Lord Jesus corrected them in a moment. He said, neither did this man sin nor his parents, but that the works of God might be made manifest in him. And now, if the Lord Jesus spoke to Job's friends, who were accusing Job of every imaginable sin that brought about the sickness and tragedy that had come into his life, the Lord Jesus would say, neither did Job sin, nor his parents, that these things happened, but that God might be glorified in him. We know that, but Job did not know that. And Job's friends did not know that. And so please, if you go visiting people that are sick in the hospital, do not tell them why they are there. I remember this sister in Christ who always had all the answers. And so she went into the hospital to visit this sick woman on one occasion. And she said to this sick woman, why is it that you have committed this heinous sin and have been visited by God with this affliction? And the woman retorted and said to her, it is not any sin that you are speaking about. It is some malady that I was born with. And the woman just laughed at her misdiagnosis and went away and told others, I told this woman that she had sinned and she was suffering because of that sin, and it wasn't that at all. And she thought it was a humorous sin. Thing. It would break my heart if I came to your home and saw you sick, or a child sick, or you told me of a loved one who was sick, and I said, it's because of this sin that they have committed. And they were not guilty of that sin. And then you told me, it's impossible for them to have committed the sin that you're talking about. And I would just laugh and say, well, I was wrong. And so here are Job's friends, and they accuse him of every imaginable sin that resulted in his suffering. And God said to them at last, "You are not speaking the thing that is right concerning my servant Job." He said, "Now, my servant Job shall pray for you, and if he does pray for you, then I will forgive you." And so let us be careful when we look at a person that is suffering, that some problem has come into their life, and say it is a sin that they have committed. Many times, alas, it is true. I've seen some that are drunkards, and I know why they are derelict. I've seen some that are whoremongers, that have diseases, and I know why they are sick. But at the same time, I've seen some who are innocent, who are pure, and yet because they had gone and were attending to those that had these diseases, somehow they had contracted those diseases. And because of that, they were sick, not because of their sin, but because of their righteousness and their love of the sick. And so let us be careful. But remember this, that the Lord Jesus, the physician, who was not a physician of no value, but he was the invaluable physician. This Lord Jesus was he who never failed, who always knew why people suffered, and who warned us this, because you examine your heart, you know the secrets of your heart. And I remember a man whom all of you heard of, and he said this on one occasion. He said, "I remember being sick," and he said, "I knew in my heart why I was sick." And so there are some of us who do endure sicknesses, who have problems to come into our lives, and we secretly pray to God, and God tells us why. And the Lord Jesus said to that man, who had been afflicted for 38 years, he said to him after he healed him, he said to him later, he said, "Behold, you are made whole. Sin no more, lest the worst thing befall you." And so the Lord Jesus knows the sins that you committed, if they are causing affliction, and if in his goodness he heals us of those sicknesses, then he says to us, "Sin no more, lest the worst thing befall thee." This beautiful verse in the Bible, listen to it. He said, "I will hear what the Lord God will speak unto his people, for he will speak peace and comfort to his people. But let them not turn again to folly." And so many times, the things that happen to us are because of our sins and our folly. But let me ask you this. When Paul and Silas had been beaten and they were in prison, what sin had they committed to be there? You say it was no sin that they had committed. God had told them to go there. And any pain that they suffered, it was not because of what they did wrong, but it was in obedience to the will of God. And so that is a comforting thing to know. If in our suffering, we can lift our hearts to God and say, "Father, it is no folly. It is nothing that I have done in life that is causing me to suffer. But it is for a reason that your Son must make known unto me." That is what God would have us to know. That is the attitude that God would have toward us. But notice this, that our Savior, who was accused by those that distrusted him, "Physician, heal thyself," they would say this, "he can't do these things that we've heard about him." When he went to Pilate and then to Herod, it said Herod was delighted that Jesus was coming to him because he had heard all the marvelous things that he had done during his life, and it said he wanted to see a miracle. And so he would say to Jesus, as if he was some servant of his, "Now, I've heard about your miraculous working powers. Perform a miracle for me." And the Lord Jesus would not even speak to him. And because of that, his conclusion was this: by all that I've heard is false, he has no ability at all. And he turned him over to his soldiers. And they ridiculed him, and they beat him, and they spat upon him, and they mocked him. Why? Because here was the physician that was challenged: physician, heal yourself. But there was a time when Jesus would not heal you, and there was a time when Jesus would not heal himself. Listen to this. When he was on the cross, they walked by and they said to him, "Thou that destroyest the temple in 3 days and raises it up, if you are the Son of God, come down from the cross and we will believe you." And so, physician, heal thyself. But the Lord Jesus did not heal himself, not because he could not, but because he would not. He had prayed to his Father about it. "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." And the Father's will was that the cup not pass from him. And so he drank the cup. "The cup which the Father has given me to drink, shall I not drink it?" But this is something that is most important. From the very first, at the beginning of Christ's ministry, when anyone was brought to him, he healed this individual. At times he was asked to heal. At times, without being asked, he healed. But now, when our Savior was being arrested, you may find it in the Gospel of Luke, Peter pulled out his sword and said, "Master, shall we defend you?" And he struck off Malchus' ear. And it says that the Lord Jesus, and only in Luke do you find it, the Lord Jesus took that ear, touched the ear, and healed it. Think of that. He who could miraculously heal this man whose ear had been cut off, do you not think that he could speak a word and destroy all of those that had come to arrest him? You say, yes. And so when they say to Jesus, "Physician, heal thyself," it is not because Jesus could not heal himself, but it was a reason that he knew, and that his Father knew, and that now you know. Because himself bare our sins in his own body upon the tree. Why could not Jesus, the physician, heal himself? Because the Lord Jesus had, as the physician, to bear our iniquities, bear our sins. And it was in fulfillment of Isaiah 53. Please notice that. We read Isaiah 53 and say it's all spiritual. He's taken away our sin. That is true. But at the same time, God sent him to take away our physical infirmities as well. And I told you about the last day of our Savior's life. His power was still there to heal. Also, when our Savior said to that paralytic, "Son, my sins are forgiven thee," they said, "This man blasphemeth. Nobody but God can forgive sins." The Savior said, "I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove to you that I have authority on earth to forgive sins." And he said, "Which is easier for me to say, 'Son, thy sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Take up thy bed and walk?" He said, "But that you may know that the Son of Man hath authority on earth to forgive sins." He said to him that was sick of the palsy, "Take up your pallet and take it home. Go home." And he took it up and walked. He demonstrated that what he said was true concerning himself was confirmed by the miracle that he performed. And now, if people could only understand this verse, it says in Hebrews 6, it tells us about the powers of the age to come. Please notice, powers of the age to come. well, if they are to come in a future age, then in this age, they are not being demonstrated. They are not being performed. It says in the Bible that the Lord Jesus was the physician, and he empowered his apostles to perform miracles, to heal diseases, and also their converts. But there is no more in the Bible that promises than the Savior, his apostles, and their converts. And after that, if God chose here or there, according to his will, to perform a miracle, then that is up to God. But it says the powers of the age to come. If the powers were to continue through every age, why would he speak of the powers of the age to come? But there is an age to come, and thank God for that age when it's spoken of this way. It says, the desert shall blossom as the rose, the deaf shall hear, the dumb shall speak, the lame shall leap as an hart, and that is in the age to come. And so what do we have to do? You and I have to do what Jesus said when they said to him, accused him of sin. He said this. He said, they that are whole have no need of a physician, but they that are sick. And so, go to Gilead and find a medicine that will heal, and find a physician that will cure, because until the Lord Jesus comes, we commit our sicknesses to God in prayer, and we go to what physician we can lay hands on and trust that they shall heal us. That's enough. Let us pray. Now, Father, we are thankful that men said concerning your Son, the physician, he hath done all things well. We are glad that there was never a disease that overpowered your Son. There was never any challenge that was too difficult for him. Was he not the one upon whom you bestowed your omnipotence, and he manifested it? And so we are thankful, our Father, that what he's done in the past, he shall do in the future. We remember reading that our citizenship is in heaven, for whence also we wait for a Savior, who shall change our vile bodies, that they may be conformed unto his glorious body, according to the power whereby he is able to subject all things unto himself. And in that age to come, what he did in that age when he was on earth, he shall do again in that age to come. And Father, help all of us who are sick and suffering now, and give us faith to wait until that time when he who cometh shall come and shall not tarry. We shall look upon him whom they pierced, our God, and we shall see him, and we shall be like him, our God, and our bodies and our souls shall rejoice. Come, Lord Jesus, we pray in your name. Amen. The meeting is over.